I have a request.
Okay.
I would like Objective Bill at some point in this podcast, because I really, 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 really want to know from an objective standpoint, because I don't have anybody who to really bounce these ideas off of from an objective standpoint.
Okay.
And I need a little bit of same build, and then you can just be regular build in a second
Okay.
after that.
Okay.
You can pick when you do it. You can pick when you sprinkle it in. That's all on you. I don't care. I
Okay.
really do want, like, how do I, how, yeah, anyway, we're not going to talk about it right now.
Okay. You just need like super focused, analytical, get after a bill at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need business bill.
Oh, business bill. Man, I don't know, man. He's about tapped out for the week. Okay.
I will return the favor eventually. I don't know
You
how.
are welcome to show up in a car with a manual transmission anytime you like.
I'm gonna show up in the car with a manual transmission, just like your car, but different.
Yeah, you'll find a Hyundai or a Kia with a manual and you'll show up.
Actually, I did. I saw it. Actually, the funny thing about it is,
Although, if we're being
so.
realistic, if we're going back and buying our old cars, but slightly better and showing up with them, then you got to show up in like a BMW with a manual.
Yes, I would have to show up in a mid-90s 318i manual.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Or if they or if you could find one, the what was it, the 320D?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh
Now we're talking.
yeah. Yep.
Now
That
you're
would be
speaking my
sweet.
love language.
Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Stanley. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another in-studio episode of the BS Car Guys podcast. Stanley and I are back separated by one state and 4 hours of driving, as per
Yeah.
usual.
Yes, we are, and we're gonna get into that. And but before we even get into it, dude, thank you for showing up and surprising me. But we go get into that. Yeah, so we kind of back in our regular setup, our regular get up. No guests, just us two
It's been a minute for
special.
just like a regular run-of-the-mill two guys rambling about cars episode.
Yep, just doing the thing that we do. Life happens, so we got to do life. But yeah, this week we're gonna talk about the surprise that Bill hit me up with, and then we're gonna talk about a little bit of new stuff, and then we probably ramble about some other things in there.
Oh,
But
we got some news to cover. We got some
yep.
serious news to cover. Like hot off the presses, just unveiled less than 5 hours ago today.
Yeah, that's one of the new things.
Yeah.
And anyway, we'll talk about that. But anyway, so Bill and I were just talking. One thing that happened last week has, because we are people. Dune, I will tell you without spoilers, because I know you didn't see it. I was going to ask you that on the podcast. Dude, it is a must see. I know who you are. You know who I am. It is a must see. It is a 9.5 legit out of 10 movie.
Really,
It
that good?
I can go on record right now that there, and say that there is one movie that possibly could be as good as this movie this year, and I don't think it's going to be as good as it.
Wow. What's the movie you're thinking will be just as good?
Well, it'll be good, but I haven't
I mean,
had
we're
that much faith in this.
barely 3 months into this year. There's a lot of year left, Stanley. Bold claim, bold claim.
Look, Deadpool is gonna be good, I believe. I hope,
I hope.
but they've been mucking it up here messily lately, and they did not muck it up on this movie, not at all. This movie, you and I both are fans of the book. We've watched the 1984. Did you watch the sci-fi one?
So, honest to goodness, true life in the moment confession. I have read the book. I probably should read it again and take notes as I read so that I can remember everyone correctly. But the movie helps with that. But I have never watched any other Dune. I am new, quote unquote, to Dune. I read the book for the first time about 5 years ago. So that was actually, I reached a point where I said, you know, I'm a fan of Star Wars, so I guess I should actually get around to reading the source material. Sorry, George Lucas. Yeah. So
no, he's not ashamed. Why should we?
Right. Yeah, sorry, Disney, sorry, George Lucas. So I was late to the Dune party, and I actually had read an article that said, hey, they're finally making this Dune movie. It's going to be like multiple movies, and it's going to finally be done correctly as opposed to the Bon Jovi version. And I was like, well, I never watched that, but maybe I should actually now sit down and give this thing a shot. Whatever. It doesn't, you know what I mean? Look, you didn't tell me where in the show real Bill had to be. So you're getting normal Bill. Okay. So I didn't watch the version with Vanilla Ice, but I knew that it existed, and I did not watch it. You know, I mean, not like I was going out of my way to avoid it, like it was the plague. I just never made an effort to watch it. Mostly because I had never read the book. And so once I heard this was coming out, I was like, all right, it's time to do this. And so I did, you know, I finally got around and read the book, and I was like, ooh, this is actually really good. I really like this. And I'm kind of excited about this movie. And then the first one came out and I watched it, and I was like, okay, now I'm really excited. So I am excited about seeing this new second part, but I just, I'm new to Dune and the world of Dune. And so obviously I haven't read any of the other 77 books that are out there yet. So if we have any fans that are diehard Dunists, you know, definitely don't send me a package of spice in the mail or something, because I'm not there yet. But I do like it. I enjoyed the book and enjoyed the first movie. So I'm looking forward to the second one.
Well, I legitimately... after you watch this, you definitely should go back and watch the 1984 so you can laugh. It is hilarious. In retrospect,
I don't know if I can get through it. I mean, I love Tron, and I have a hard time getting through the OG Tron.
I'll go back and watch sometimes 80s movies just to see if I can get through. We were in the movie theater because we also saw One Love the week prior to, which is a really good movie.
Was this about the same time as the Manny Petty, or was this?
No. In between the Manny Petty and you know, we do other things besides get my hair and nails and feet done.
I think you're supposed to say did.
Did. But they had a trailer. They showed the trailer for Rad.
Like the 1987 Rad.
Yeah. Yes, they showed that trailer in the movie there, up in front of the One Love. They got this thing going on in the movie theater. I don't know if it's everywhere, but they are showing 80s movies throughout the year.
No
or
way.
Yeah, in the theaters.
Look, listen, here's the thing. If you're showing 80s movies in the movie theater, like, sign me up for Short Circuit and sign me up for Beverly Hills Cop 1 or 2. Not so much 3. But yeah, sign me up for Short Circuit 1. Sign me up for Beverly Hills Cop 1 or 2. Or sign me up for... you got me as soon as you started doing your arms in there. I got distracted. I was like a ADLS moment there. Police Academy.
Police. Yeah, that would absolutely fit into your thing. Because, you know, with all the new technology, we spent a whole lot of time looking for the thing that we want to watch. I scrolled past The Adventures of Baron von Munchausen. I think that's what. Yeah. Remember that movie? Yeah. Vaguely. That movie and Ice Pirates.
Oh, wow. That one's lost on me.
It's like, it makes Spaceballs worse, because Spaceballs is a classic, but kind of in the same vein.
Yeah, dude, I would sign up for like a movie marathon of like Spaceballs, Airplane 1, and Airplane 2.
They should, all those movies that they did on Mystery Science Theater 3000, they should put them back in the movie theater again, one time.
So, you know, as a kid, as a young teen watching like Airplane, I thought it was funny, but I didn't really, the humor like was a little bit lost on me as a teenager. But in Airplane 2, there's a scene where it really finally clicked for me. And it's where the guy's walking through the corridor of the spaceship, because your Airplane 2 is like in space, right? And he's walking through the corridor and he stops at a door and the door says danger vacuum. And he opens it and gets attacked by an actual vacuum cleaner. And it was in that moment that I all the pieces of the puzzle fell into place for what that franchise was. And I was like, I love it. I'm a fan for life.
Did you, was it loaded gun?
Lethal Weapon.
Were you in there for that?
You know, I was a little young for the loaded gun, naked gun.
One of them things.
I don't know. They were good. I liked them. They were good. They just weren't quite, to me, they weren't quite the same caliber as Airplane. And we were really on movies tonight. I mean, we're
doing this thing. You and I have different senses of humor when it comes to movies. But I know you was all here for Jim Carrey and what's the guy name? Happy Gilmore and all them things. Adam Sandler.
Yes.
You know, them was your dudes back in the day.
Yes. Given the time period, and if I thought hard enough about it today, I could probably do at least the first 10 minutes of Billy Madison without having seen it in 15 to 18 years, because I had seen it so many times.
Yep. I believe you, because I have no doubt that you've seen it that many times.
I was a huge Adam Sandler fan.
Did you ever do the stand up thing at least once?
Once, yeah.
Did you bomb?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you're just starting out. You're supposed
I did it. And look, there's some people floating around somewhere in the world that at one point in their life attended some form of Navy or Marine Corps school in Pensacola in 1999, who had nothing better to do with a $5 bill than buy a comedy tape, and has a tape of me doing stand up in the smoke pit for an hour and a half. Right there, I sold like 8 tapes at $5 a piece. There's some people out there with some stand up material.
If you're one of those people, please.
There's no way on earth that one of those people.
Please contact me.
No way.
That will be the BS Car Guy's second video.
You would not even listen. No, it's not even videotape. It's audio only tape. It's perfect.
And that would be fine.
It's perfect for you. It's right. No video. It's just audio. Oh gosh. Well, I'm sad I even admitted to that.
Speaking of the BS Car Guys on the YouTubes, so Bill did a thing. He surprised me at my house. If you haven't seen the video yet, the link will be in down there below all this stuff. And you should definitely go check it out. You see me and Bill for the first time. Boy, Bill has videos. Anyway, you'll see us on there. It was a pleasant surprise, but the point of that, one of the biggest points of that surprise is Bill got a new thing.
I did. And one of my favorite parts of the video is when I got out of the car, you could hear Giselle laughing.
Yep.
Inside their vehicle with the doors closed, and it made my heart happy. It's just the funniest thing to know that she was laughing because you couldn't say anything. And that I mean, in and of itself, Stanley speechless is not easily come by. So I was pretty happy about that too.
Yeah. I don't talk good all the time. And, both of you and I do talk a lot. And anything that catches us by surprise enough that we are silent, I would imagine amuses both of our wives. I don't know how often it really happens because we are pretty resilient. But when it does happen, I'm sure it is amusing to them. It's like, I've been trying to get this dude to shut up for 30 years, and you just did it in a moment. Thank you.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. We did get some love on Facebook from Ed Knight and Vince Diaz, who both commented that on enjoying the video from back in the day, mutual friends. And then also my friend Caleb Sinyard, who is ready to join in on the minivan episode whenever we get around to recording that.
Okay.
So
he should come down here so I could show him the thousands of minivans.
It was his wife that insisted we needed to do a minivan episode. So he felt like he was, a well suited to be a special guest for the minivan episode.
Cool.
Just FYI, that video currently has 43 views on the YouTube. So hopefully after we get the link on here, we'll pick up some more views, and then I can help make my case to Stanley that needs to be our format moving forward.
One day you're gonna get me, and I
think I already got you.
like the Queen Borg said back in the day, resistance is futile.
That's right. So just give in and be on video. You're exactly right, Stanley. You're exactly right. You just said
anyway.
It's not going anywhere.
So I will commend you on your video editing skill because I know you're a very busy person. I know nothing about video editing really. I tried it a couple years ago. It didn't really work out for me. I didn't understand what I was doing. And I know you do it, you dabble in it, but you are very busy. So good job.
Thank you. Did you get the audio from the episode up yet?
I got the audio from the episode. So
okay.
I knew you were going to put the video out there. I didn't know exactly when you were going to put the video out there. So what I was thinking was, and it probably was a bad thought, was I didn't want to put the audio out before the video.
That's smart thinking.
So
Look at you being smart and stuff.
A little bit of analytics and logistics.
And hey, listen, if you're one of our listeners that is always like, these episodes are so long. That episode's only 43 minutes long. Shortest episode to date, I think.
100%. And if our episodes are so long, that's why you can hit the pause button, and just come back on to it. I mean, just find a little spot in there, hit the pause button, come on back,
At some point, one of us takes a breath. That's a perfect opportunity. Click pause.
Yep, absolutely.
Or, like when you're laughing so hard, you can't hear the next thing we're saying, hit the pause button there.
Yeah, we are comedians. We are professional amateur comedians at 100%.
Yes. I listen, if I am nothing else in my life, I am a professional at being an amateur at a lot of stuff.
I agree.
I have made a profession out of being an amateur.
And I am that as well, 100%. But
hey, go ahead.
Go ahead. The star of the show.
I was going to change subjects. Go ahead.
The star of the show was Bill's new thing. I will give you on your purchase of the new thing, of the new Volkswagen diesel 6-speed Golf. Yes. How is she doing?
Doing great. No issues to report at the moment. Still driving wonderful. Still enjoying the 6-speed. My daughter enjoys changing the gears for me. That's already a thing. We're just driving along, and I say, I need third gear, and I press the clutch in, and she puts it in third, and I say, fourth gear, please.
You are raising your daughter correctly.
That's the plan. That is the plan. So
my daughter used to do that too.
Yep, that's what you got to do. They got to understand how things work, and they learn by doing. So we're enjoying that part of it, and that's our drive to school most mornings when I take her to school. That's how we get to school. Is she changes the gears for me, and that's a lot of fun.
Hopefully you forget, you skip the other part about daughters. They turn 12 and then they turn into the evilest creatures on the planet. Hopefully you just skip that part. But
I believe we're having connection issues. I wasn't able to hear anything you just said.
Good to go. You will find out.
So before
they turn 12.
since I visited you, the car is now closing in on 157,000 miles. So we've put about another 1,800 miles on it since I visited with you. It's been to South Carolina again. Mm-hmm. So it's had two South Carolina trips in it. And then it's been around the area here quite a bit. My truck is still in the shop being repaired from its deer collision. I did get an insurance adjustment payment today. They did have to order an entire bedside for the side of the truck. So far I think we're at $4,800 worth of damage from a deer.
I mean, we grew up in the era where a deer would total a car almost all the time.
100%. Yeah. So anyway, that's an update on the truck.
I'm surprised that it's taking them this long, man. I mean,
well, I didn't even get it in the shop until the 28th.
That's right. Good point. Yeah. Good point. One time when my beautiful daughter decided to either hit something that she wasn't supposed to hit or allow something to hit her that she wasn't supposed to, it took us like 3 months to get the car into the shop. It was, and then it took like another month for it to get out. And around about the same time, I had a colleague that he had a Kia K5, and he backed into something, and that car was in the shop for 2 months. It was crazy. But anyway, enough about wrecked cars. So, I was thinking, have you priced the brown wrap?
No, haven't really priced a whole lot. So far, the things I have priced have been head unit, hidden subwoofer, rims, headlight replacements, roof rack, bike rack, luggage box, cold air intake, diesel filter delete, and a shift knob. That's about it.
Is there not a bullet dog kit for this diesel? I mean, they make a kit for every other diesel. Why don't they have one for this diesel?
I don't know.
But yeah, we did part of the video. We rode was riding through my neighborhood, and you pointed out one of my neighbors and his Tundra. It's a Tundra.
Yeah.
It's a Tundra. He has a Tundra because he has a Tundra and a Tacoma. And I was telling you about the third car. The third of the four Toyotas that he has, it's not actually a Toyota. I messed up.
It's a Lexus?
Yeah, it's your Lexus.
LX450?
It's an LX450. It's an LX450. It's newer than yours. It's the one with the beak thing. The front. Weird front.
Like a 100 series Land Cruiser, so the LX470?
It might be a 70. Yes, it might be a 70. But he has bead locks on it. He got bronze wheels on it. He got all the
Yakima on that. Are you sure it's not a GX?
That's what I just said, GX, isn't it? Did you say LX? I said GX, my bad. I apologize.
GX is the Land Cruiser Prada.
Yeah. He has a GX. He got beadlocks on it. Got some bronze wheels on it. And all
how does he feel about how does he feel about the new GX?
I don't know. He I believe he works for CSX, so there's always one of the Toyota trucks not at the house. The Lexus stays all the time. There. Yeah. I mean, he you know how work is. I hardly ever see him. When I do see him, he's walking his dog for like 5 seconds, and then I'll leave to go somewhere, and then he's gone again. So busy guy, cool guy, busy guy. And I talked to my other neighbor, and they're already looking at their next vehicles, the ones with the very expensive GMCs, and they're already looking at their next vehicles after the two Denalis. And I think right now he thinks he's gonna look at the Tungsten.
Oh wow!
Because they like luxury big trucks. There's only two of them. They have no children. They have a big dog. I was like, bro, I mean,
that would check the box for luxury big truck.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, if I was a dual income, if we had dual income and no kids and both of us made that much money, I guess we would spend money on a lot more things too. He also has like a $1,000 lawnmower. But anyway, push lawnmower in it.
Okay, so you said something about the new Charger.
All right, cool. So yeah, that was what Bill and I did. And we're not going to talk that much more about that because there's a video for it, and I encourage you to go watch the video. And then there's going to be audio for that video, so you'll have more opportunity to talk to us about it, to listen to us talk about that. So cool. So since then, this week there have been some new things that happened. One of them happened today. And one of them happened 2 days ago. So which would you like to do first, sir?
Well, let's start with today's news.
Cool. So today, Rivian had an event. And yes.
And they surprised everybody.
I knew about it.
No, they surprised everybody because everyone knew they were going to unveil one vehicle. But what they actually did was unveil two vehicles.
Yeah. Some people would say three. You're correct with saying two. Yes.
I mean, realistically, we're talking about electric vehicles. So technically, all they did was unveil three different shells on the same platform. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. We know how you feel about EVs, and this is the part of the show at some point where I would like you to be objective about this and the next story, and then you can go rant on the things that we normally rant on.
Okay, so let me start out by saying I like the R2.
Okay.
I think the size is right.
Okay.
I think the seating configuration is right.
Okay.
I think the price is great. In fact, yep. I would say the price, the only thing that is going to stand between people buying this and people buying the new Lexus GX 550 is they have to wait an extra year to buy this or a year and a half. Mm. This is a better vehicle. This is a better value. This is a better off-roader. This has a better interior. They didn't try to maybe offer you a third row and then take it away from you. This is just a better vehicle. This is the better buy than the Lexus GX 550. If you're thinking about a Lexus GX 550, you should wait and buy a Rivian R2. Now, I have said all of that. Let me move to the R3.
You're on a roll.
I want an R3. This is the hatchback. Hatchback of hatchbacks. This is the hatchback. This car, the moment I saw it, it was love at first sight. And I said, you know what? I can own an electric car. And this is the electric car I can own.
Hmm. So there's been two times in the last 30 days that you made me quiet for a second. there's hope for Bill yet.
What are your thoughts on it?
I like the R2. I didn't do the Lantern thing. But now that you say it, I mean, both of those people, there's probably some cross shopping between those two.
I bet there's a lot of cross shoppers in those two vehicle platforms. A lot.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you one thing in Stanley's head for sure about the R2 is there is no logical reason to buy a Tesla Model Y.
No. This actually looks like an SUV.
Yeah.
Not a pile of vomit that slid out of the bottom of a refrigerator.
Now that you said that, remember you said that. Well, you're going to remember you said that because that's going to come up next. But yeah, this is, to be honest, this is the luxury premium, whatever you want to tag you want to put on it, electric SUV crossover thing. This is the best example of it so far. I mean, if you don't need three rows, this is it. In my mind, even without driving it, without knowing somebody who driven it, this is all the issues that you have with a Model Y. I think they addressed in this vehicle. No melted jelly bean shape. No, it looks like a real vehicle. I know Tesla has a bigger market share and they're a bigger company and all these other stuff. But again, when you watch the video, we had a slight conversation about early adopters. If I'm going to be an early adopter for a thing, for a SUV crossover electric thing, if I'm going this way over Model Y all every day, twice on Sundays.
Agreed.
Even if my wife don't like the lights, because she'll get used to it. She sits on the inside. She can't see the lights from the inside.
She doesn't like the lights on the Rivian?
Yeah, she does.
Kendra doesn't either. Kendra doesn't either.
Okay. Once again, these two women that we love so much agree without having a conversation.
I know. Maybe they got their own podcast about hating cars. So...
Yeah,
and you know what it is about the R3, because listen, at the end of the day, the headlights to me have just become normalized now. Now they're not anything special, right?
Yep.
But that back end on the Rivian R3, dude, that's a cool looking hatchback, and I will never refer to it. I'm gonna say the word that I said I don't say. I won't ever refer to it as a crossover because it's not a crossover. It's a hatchback.
Yeah, to be honest, you 100%, without being facetious, you are 100%. This is a lifted hatch. This is the successor to the Audi R-Road.
100%.
The Ford, 100%. All of those.
And honestly, that's how they should be marketing the thing. They should be marketing it as because look, Porsche has the Dakar. Lamborghini has the Stiletto, whatever it's called. They got their thing that goes off-road. Everybody's doing this off-road thing now. Who's the other person that's making an off-road version? Dude, we need to talk about that. We predicted that. Speaking of, oh my. Did you watch the Grand Tour? The newest?
No, I didn't. I've been super busy at work.
It's good. It's so good. It's so good. So they snuck one in on me. It's been a long time that people from Top Gear in any status station, whatever, on any program have brought car news to me before I heard it anywhere else.
Okay.
But they did it in this new special. Because they were talking about off-road cars being the new hot niche. And like...
It's almost like we said these things before. I've heard this somewhere before.
Yes. And I got to find it now because I'm blanking on... There it is. I think I got it. Hang on. It took me a minute to come up with the name. Is this it? Hang on. Because if you haven't seen, that's not it. All right, keep talking. I'm looking for this thing. I don't want to say wrong and then bring down the wrath of our listeners. So I'm still looking for this thing. You keep talking.
Oh, well, it happens. So while Bill is looking for that, we did predict this. We have a whole episode about rugged being the new sporty and how everybody was going to start coming out these rugged versions of their vehicles and not really change. Some of them just be aesthetic. Some of them actually doing some work. Some of them going way too far, making the vehicle way more capable, way more capable than anybody's going to actually use it for. And yes. So we predicted this, what, like 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
So I'm not surprised. And then after that, you know, Porsche came out with the rugged 911. Lamborghini came out with the rugged Aventador or whatever version of the car they have. Hyundai, Kia, Toyota, Honda, Nissan. I'm going off the top of my Volkswagen. Volvo was already there. Audi was already there. All these companies came out with rugged versions of vehicles that they already made. And to be honest, I mean, one of the things that Bill has positively influenced me on here recently is I did not understand how the whole off-road, overlanding, van life stuff, how big it really was, because it wasn't in my space. And
I would venture to say, realistically, it has grown to a point of, I mean, it clearly is affecting how cars are designed.
Yep.
I mean, even new vehicles like the Hyundai Santa Fe are inspired by and altered by overlanding. Like, you can see some of the design choices in that vehicle.
100%.
The influence is there, right?
I mean, to the point where Hyundai looked at Land Rover and it's like, hey, let's make a Korean version of that and sell it.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, it's not the exact same thing, but you look at it, and if you don't know a car, if you're not a car person, you don't know the difference. It ain't going to be a whole, when you crank it up, you'll hear the difference, because one of them got a big, gigantic V8 on it, but one doesn't. But looking at it dropping down the road, you're going to think that person is driving a $100,000 car. I mean, a $100,000 rugged car. I mean, it is a part of the market and a part of cardom that I didn't really understand, because that just wasn't my space. But Bill, you were definitely in that space, and you brought that to me. And we've had hundreds of conversations about that subject. And I don't, to be honest, I don't see it really slowing down. It's going to get to the point where they're going to expect a rugged version. When people start expecting a rugged version of everything, when they make a rugged Toyota Corolla, we have gone too far.
I don't know. I mean, the GR Corolla comes in rally spec.
Well, that's not a thing.
That is a thing. So the Grand Tour's latest episode is called Sand Job. And
that is not a thing. That's not real.
And they showed... They said they talked about, this is how cutting edge we were. They talked about exactly this. They talk about how off-road cars are the new hotness. They start with the Lamborghini. Then they talk about the Porsche. And I'm like, yep, yep. And the next car they show and talk about is this one. This is the Morgan CXT. It's called the Morgan Plus 4 CXT. So the Plus 4 is just the normal model number for their like fully enclosed, somewhat cabbed car. And then this is the like off-road, rugged, rally, Dakar versioned Morgan car. And I'm all about it. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's like a limited production, like race car basically, but the thing is just cool and I want it. And it's got a manual and it's all like, yeah,
dude, this thing is one thing wrong with that car. Ready for it?
Yeah.
That person that's going to buy it is not going to get it dirty. That is the only thing that's wrong with that car. Everything else on that car is right. All of it.
Well, that's the thing people said about the Porsche and the Lamborghini is like the people that are buying these cars aren't actually going to use them, right? Look, there's even a YouTube video. I don't know how I missed this car coming out. Oh, this thing's cool.
I have no idea. Of all the weird things that you like when it comes to cardom, how did you miss that?
I have no idea.
All right. What you were saying.
So tell me that this thing with some off-roady tires.
Keep scrolling.
And like a 1980s rally paint scheme. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you the one that sold me on it was this color coming up.
All right. Yeah, keep scrolling. So what we're doing right now, we're scrolling through the pictures on the Rivian website or the R3, which you definitely should do and stop right there on that one. They had that. Did you watch the video? They had that car on stage.
Yes.
That car, right as soon as I said that, I was like, oh, that's Bill. All day. The crazy thing is, it kind of, to me, looks like one of historically kind of deemed one of the worst cars in the history of automotive, the Yugo.
It also looks like, so, you know, the Yugo looks a lot like the Russian, what's that Russian car called? The Lada. I have always secretly loved the little boxy Ladas because they were four-wheel drive. And people would put these, like, ridiculous, tall, skinny tires on them and go mudding with them. And that's just cool to me, like, doing, like, those rallies, like those Polish rallies, like the Burslaw. Like, dude, that's just cool to me. So, yeah, this car, I'm telling you, man, it's love at first sight. Like, I don't know what's going to keep me from buying this as a car when it comes out. I don't know that I was ready for an electric car, but I don't know how I don't buy this.
All right, cool. And I 100% agree with you. And if they do the thing that they kind of alluded to, because they were talking about this price ladder going down. I mean, that's you all day long.
My ponytail has never been that long.
You're right.
Dude, that is the screensaver on my phone right now.
Yeah, that would be kind of dope. I think that is so cool. Kind of dope.
Everything about this car is cool.
I mean, you would have some issues with the tech, but every car has some negative thing. These little handle things, that's you. But so, like, the R2 is supposed to be like $45,000. And if they do this in the manner that they've been kind of, this car is going to be like, let's say this car is $35,000.
They ain't going to be able to make enough of them.
If this car is $35,000, if that car, that blue car that you just had on the screen, tops out at $45,000, they will not be able to make enough of them.
100%. I will have one.
I don't know how that doesn't surpass. Yeah, that car is. And again, total surprise. Nobody knew this was happening. And they pulled one out on stage. And it's like, oh, man, that is cool. And then they brought another one out on stage. And it's like, what? Where did that come from? And this one purposely, they said, you know, it has the bigger wheels and tires and it's purposely more rugged. And I was like, man, that car fits you. That car, that was a car I didn't know I wanted.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is they started showing it, and I'm looking at the R2, and I'm like, man, that thing ain't bad looking. Like, I would probably own that R2. Yeah. And then they showed the R3, and I'm like, what?
You know what they just did? All right, this is the bad business move. You're a businessman, and so you're going to get this way better than I did. You probably already thought about it. The R2 is going to come out, and we just raved about how good that car is and how right they got it.
I think it's two different markets.
I think they put the R3 out on out there, and it's like,
yeah.
I stopped looking at the R2. I'm not.
I did too. But here's the thing: I think it's two different buyers. I think the R2 is the people that have been sitting back and looking at R1s. and going, man, if I had $100,000, I'd have that car. You know, that's, I like it's electric. I like it's roomy. It's a big box. It looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like I should be wearing like a big felt hat with some long hair and a wool coat and going to Coachella. And, but I just don't have $100,000. That guy's looking at the R2 going, oh, well, now I can get one. $45,000. I mean, I'm only a barista, but I can get one of those. And so they're looking at that. And then when they showed the R3, those people are not seeing the R3 and going, ooh, right? Now, I'm looking at the R2 like, I could buy that for Kendra. And she would fall in love with it. I put her in there for 6 months and she would never want another car.
Your wife, like my wife, would get in that and they would be mad about the lights at first. And then about a week later, it's like, why didn't we do this before?
Yes. Yes. And you may tell you the feature that would sell my wife on it the fastest?
What's that? Oh, the tailgates. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The window rolls down, just like her 1991 Toyota 4Runner.
A feature that, unfortunately, is not copied by enough cars.
Why is everybody's rear window not rolled down into their tailgate?
I have no idea. The back windows, the windows behind the C pillar, how to count pillars. The windows behind the C pillars, they pop out, the back rolls down.
Just like her 100 series Land Cruiser right now. It has the pop out windows.
I watched some of the video. I didn't watch it all. And you know, one of the knocks on the Rivian was like, hey man, you made this really nice truck and SUV and everything. Why did you skip out on the glove box? Oh, we're going to overcorrect. We'll give you two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to give you two glove boxes.
But
you
want to complain
about glove boxes? We're going to give you two of them.
So it shows that they're actually listening to their customers. Oh,
and this is here's the thing that tells me they're also going to be a better fit for the Overlander crowd than the GX. One big giant fold and rear seat, which I'm not the biggest fan of. I think it should still be a split. And maybe it is. It actually kind of looks like it might be.
It is
a
split. It just can.
They're just showing it all fold down together. But the front seats fold down flat. So you have one large, completely flat floor that you could put a mattress on or an air mattress or something and sleep in your vehicle. You just made all the hippies happy. And happy hippies buy cars. Now your challenge is to get this electric vehicle out and get it in front of some hippies faster than Volkswagen finally rolls out the 33-year release of their hippie van.
Which, what is taking them so long?
I mean, 273. You know what it is? You know what it is? They got the original hippies from the 1960s van to help get this van going. And every couple of weeks, they realize they forgot to release it. They're like, do we put that van out, right? And they're like, yeah, we totally put that van out. And then somebody comes on and is like, hey, where's that van at? And then they're like, dude, we forgot the van. Get the van out. And then a couple weeks later.
Comedian. We don't miss it. But yeah, man, I think I do believe, even though we have our issues with EVs, I do believe this is going to be a hit. I don't really see that much fault in it. There are going to be some people who buy it that don't know what they're buying and are going to screw it up. But those of us who people who are getting into the vehicle and know what they get into, I don't see them not being happy with that. I just don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, Rivian had a couple issues early on, but they seem to be correcting things. It's like, hey, we're going to come out with some more approachable vehicles price-wise, and they just did it. They just doubled the size of their company in a day. Their product line in a day.
Almost. They doubled the size of their commercial offering.
Yeah, commercial offering. There you go. All right, you're on that picture of the R3 right there. That tailgate right there, the split on the tailgate. Why don't people do that either?
I know. Not enough people do that. The dual split tailgate.
He raved about how that the top is adjustable, so you can adjust the height to make it pop open higher, so you can put taller things in it and everything. Oh man, I don't see where it went wrong on that. That is probably going to be the biggest car announcement of the year, second biggest.
I mean,
I don't know what's coming out next.
I don't know what's coming out next either, but. And you know what else? When I look at the shape and the size of this car, like, look at dude standing in front of it. That's a small dude. He probably wears a medium, right? That's a small. So it's not a tiny car. It is small. Yeah. It's like the size of my Golf, right? But that's what we're missing is good looking, practical, small, cheap electric cars that people actually want to own. And when I saw this, so aside from instant love at first sight, when I saw the other color of it, when I started looking at the pictures of this, one of my first thoughts was they're going to get it right faster than Polestar.
Oh, Polestar. We made a prediction about Polestar, about some EV companies in the past. I need to amend my Polestar prediction. They're going to go out of business.
You think they're going to get sucked back up by Volvo?
Jeep, what was it? Geely. They are an independent thing. That something happened in the restructuring of that company where they weren't making enough money, they weren't doing enough right, and they kind of became an official offshoot, which tells me it's like they don't have confidence in that brand, and they're not long for this earth.
Yeah.
I don't
remember how we were talking about Volvos recently, and we talked about how they are winning the game on seat materials.
Oh yeah,
look at those seat materials.
Yeah.
We're doing it better, Volvo. We're doing it better.
So one of the guys at work, because I showed him some of this stuff, and it's like, oh man, you're just a hippie. You just want. I was like, bro, I don't care about how much fuel you save. I don't know. I think that's cool. I want that. Because it's cool. I want that because it looks like something from the 1980s that they just updated. And I'm cool. You know how bad I remember when Nissan showed the concept car that looked like the Datsun 510?
Yes.
And then Hyundai showed their retro looking car.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's like Rivian heard us talking about those cool retro looking cars and said, we're going to build the R3X, and it's going to be awesome. And now they've done it.
One of the reasons why we both like the Alpha Motors cars. They are new, but they look old.
Yes. Yeah, they've got character. They've got personality. Yeah. They look like something people would want to talk to you about.
Yep, they don't look like a melted jelly bean.
Right. And dude, this thing right here, that color with that interior is exactly what I've been looking for.
Yep.
I love the peanut butter brown with the dark brown. I am all in. I want this car.
Yep. If
you haven't seen it yet and you're listening to the podcast for this long, stop what you're doing. Now is that pause moment Stanley was talking about. Pause it. Go look at this car.
Yeah.
I'm in love, dude. I mean, I really have no other way to put it. This thing is cool. I really want this car, and I don't care that it's electric. Now, I want it to be clear. I want everyone listening, Rivian, you included, if you're listening, I don't care that it's electric. And that's what you've done. You've made a car so good looking that I want it. Even though it's electric,
coming for later in the podcast.
Even though it's electric, I want it. If it had a gasoline engine and I could go buy it tomorrow,
I would want it.
If it had, it doesn't matter that it's electric. The fact that it's electric has no influence and sway over me wanting to buy this thing. I don't care. I haven't even looked to see if there's anything telling me what the range may or may not be, or what the 0 to 60 may or may not be. Or the charging time. I don't care. I want it. I don't care. So let that be a lesson to you that you don't have to build an electric car to capture people's attention and desire. You just have to build a good looking car.
I was about to say the same thing. I just need to let you get it out. If you build a desirable car, it doesn't matter what powers it.
Yes. And on that segue,
I feel like you've set me up to be negative, Bill, for the rest of the thing. I need an objective, just one objective opinion, and then you can go red and white. So the next big piece of news that happened this week was Dodge unveiled the new Chargers. And of course, they went out there on stage and they had their big press conference and everything. And one thing that people were speculating why are we dropping the sedan? They didn't drop the sedan. There is a two-door charger and a four-door charger that are coming. They are EV initially, because the other thing that some people predicted, Stanley included, was that these cars can and will have internal combustion engines. They will get the turbo inline six that is currently in the new Rams, and at least two power variants. The EVs are going to initially come in two power variants. And Bill, I would like an objective opinion before you go tear this car apart. What do you think it looks like? How do you think it looks?
Better than the Hornet.
I 100% agree with you. This car isn't on sale yet, but of the current offerings from Dodge, this is the best car that they did. And they didn't build one yet. This is the most desirable car that they currently have is new, that you can buy new. Well,
Did Dodge recently have a merger with Mitsubishi Motors?
No, evidently. I didn't know this. I was going to ask you if you knew this, so we can't do it now. It was a trivia question. That actually is an old Dodge logo.
From 1927?
From the 60s or before. Yeah, that's actually an old Dodge logo. I had no idea. I had to look it up. The dude standing on the CEO or whoever he is standing on stage, and I was like, whatever. Googled it. I was like, oh, I guess he was right. He works there. He probably is right. But I mean,
because when I first saw that very first image of the front of the car, I was like, no way. They put a rotary engine in it? But I guess that was mistaken.
That's Mazda. But they did used to have a relationship with Mitsubishi, a pretty prevalent relationship.
Yeah, I brought that up for a reason. So
how do you think it looks?
From the back, not too dissimilar from current Chargers. Yep. From the side profile, not too dissimilar from current Honda Accord. I mean, Dodge Chargers.
That's a Bill opinion. That's what I wanted. I don't think it looks bad. I think it...
From the front... What's a nice thing to say? From the front, it still looks like a car.
Not
a squished jelly bean. So if I'm looking for positive things to say about Dodge, it's that from the front, it still looks like a car. It doesn't look like it's trying to also be an SUV. It doesn't look like it's also trying to be a minivan. I'm talking to you, Hornet. It doesn't look like it's trying to be a squished jelly bean that fumbled its way through a field of hallucinogenic mushrooms. I'm talking to you, Elon Musk. It looks like a car. So, I mean, if I'm looking for positive things to say, you know, it's got that going for it, which is cool.
I don't know if you watched the video or when they were talking, the CEO or the presenter or whoever he is, he specifically said, use the squished jelly bean line. He said, it personally does not look like a squished jelly bean. He was absolutely getting on Mercedes and who all them got and Tesla for Bill. It's like, we made decisions in this car that purposely hurt the aerodynamics because it needed to look a certain way.
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
What's that?
Two-part question.
Okay.
You know how with electric cars, you have a front trunk?
Yep, some of them.
Some of them. Did the people at Dodge get so confused by that idea that when they said, we're putting the trunk in the front, they just stuck the spoiler up there with it, thinking that's what they meant? Or...
I was waiting for the or.
Is this just a convenient place to hook up the tow strap when it stops working?
Well, it could be both because it is a Dodge and it is a first gen electric vehicle from a company that has never produced hasn't produced an electric vehicle in the last 100 years.
Wait, so that doesn't fill you with confidence?
Not at all. So it will break. So just keep your early adopter hat on. It helps with the aerodynamics somehow. I don't know. But we talked about that when the concept car came out. We didn't know how that was going to translate. But from the concept car to the production car, I can't say I'm happy with the way it looks 100%, but I am happy that a lot of the concept car made it to the production car.
That is an interesting point. Usually most of a concept car dies in production.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. So I haven't watched this reveal video. So I want to see this for the first time. I'm not hearing any sound, so I'm just watching it. So we have a guy walking. I'm going to commentate for our listeners. He's now.
If this is the one I think it is.
Looking on the map so he knows where to go to the local repair shop. He pressed the button, and then there was an electrical explosion.
Which probably is going to happen.
Stanley's earlier point about it being the first one. Yeah, what would you want me to pause it for? Sorry.
I want you to pause it for this.
I'm not going to know if he survived it.
If this is the video that I think it is, whoever does their marketing needs to be demoted. I don't want nobody to be fired. I want that person to keep to stay employed. But this was a bad idea. What they're about to do. This is the corniest part of it.
So, well, first of all, every time I pause this, I see a whole bunch of videos with real cars down below that make good sounds, drag racing. Every time I pause it, I go, oh yeah, they do make some cool cars. All right, so let's keep going here.
All right. So
black and white, 1910 Detroit, silent film with a bunch of old cars bumping down. This is all CGI and AI of what it looked like at 1910s. There were not this many cars in Detroit in 1910, I can assure you. And then a storm just rolled in. Oh, no. Oh, no. Little Johnny selling newspapers. You newsy with your scratched up face like you've been abused. Oh, there was a lightning strike. And in comes the electric Dodge Bumblebee Charger with the Mitsubishi logo and a front spoiler.
All right, first, go ahead, keep, pause, not the video.
As is driving, it is electrocuting bystanders. So not only is it blown up once when the guy cranked it, but now it is electrocuting people standing around it, including this poor child who, as anyone who knows anything about the Newsies knows, they were very poorly treated and had to work excruciating hours. And now he just electrocuted one. And now we see a Dodge Brothers logo and a sweatshop where they're building cars using immigrant labor. And the car's parked out front to say, if you guys work really hard in 100 years.
That's not a bad looking car right there. That's not a bad looking car.
It's not a bad, but it looks just, now we have CGI Dodge Brothers.
Yeah.
Who look, and then a real human gets out to look at the CGI Dodge Brothers, who look like CGI from, like, what was that movie that came out several years ago? Clash of the Titans.
That's like CGI for the first Tron.
Yeah, that's right. These are CGIs from the first Tron. These are actually Tron 1 and his buddy in the first Tron movie are the Dodge Brothers.
All right, so now that you paused it for a second, I'll tell you this. I don't like it better than, but at least they didn't put the Ford thing. And when Chevy decided that they were going to build a Camaro, they just built a Camaro. Because the new Mustang profile and side view looks like a Camaro still to me.
So now this real human is having a conversation with the cartoon people that are the cartoon Dodge Brothers.
Both of them look cartoon. All three of them look cartoon.
Well, the actual human doesn't look like a cartoon, but the Dodge Brothers with their pipe wrenches, like they're plumbers.
No, they're about to come out there and beat him up.
Yeah, okay. And they've got their old Dodge Brothers symbol on their back of their jackets. You know what they look like? They look like Tom Hanks in the Christmas Train movie, The Polar Express. They're Tom Hanks from The Polar Express.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how bad they look. That's how bad the CGI looks. Actually, Polar Express CGI may have been a little better. Okay, now we got more lightning coming off the car. This car is an electrical fire hazard. And now it just accelerated and took off, somehow leaving the city behind. It's actually now been transported to a 1987 IROC-Z commercial. And now it just drove into the inside of a Cat 5 cable. And now they're showing us actual old cars again that are desirable. 1950s. And now he has one of the cartoons in the car with him. He has actually stolen a cartoon. Oh, real cars, 1960s. Now you're showing stuff people really, really want to buy. Oh, yeah. Super B stuff. Like, oh, man, yes. Please make a 346 back. And now they're showing us stuff that's good for killing people in intersections. And now the guy's back inside the Cat 5 cable. And he's still talking to a cartoon. And the cartoon's confused about what's happening.
Did you plan to narrate this video prior to the podcast?
No, this is just my reaction to seeing it for the first time. Now they're on a racetrack, which is also CGI, but is also from a car commercial from 1991. It's not as good as Days of Thunder, but it's close.
No, it's not. No, take that back. Take it back.
Nowhere close to as good as Days of Thunder. Oh, and now on the racetrack, once it got up to speed, the car actually came all to pieces, which sounds exactly like what might actually happen. The car completely came apart, and now it said patent pending R wing design. They think if they don't get a patent, someone may steal the front end spoiler missing from the back of the car. Do they think they're the first people to ever think, what if we took a trunk spoiler and put it at the front of the hood And then thought, well, if we don't get a patent on this really quick, somebody will steal it from us. So we better get a patent on this front trunk spoiler. And now the guy's actually just doing donuts in a warehouse, but he's not doing real donuts in a real warehouse. He's doing CGI donuts in a CGI warehouse, because nothing says buy this cool new car like here's a cartoon of this cool new car. I mean, could they not have just waited till they actually built one and done
that's
some
drive? I was thinking that car right there. Well,
just
I think
drive the real thing. You think part of the car is new?
All right. So the reason I said that is like what they're doing in the car is fake. The car itself might be real.
No. No, everything he's, well, that's not real.
That's real.
That's not real.
That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like.
But that's not an actual car. They didn't film an actual car.
That's the best part of the car.
They didn't film. That's not an actual car. That's not an actual car.
That's a real car.
None of those shots are real cars.
That is a real car.
Nothing in this entire, this is a clay model of a car with lights on it. That's not even a real car.
That's a real car.
That's not a real car. The orange one may be an actual, somewhat functional prototype, like, you know, static display prototype where it has lights that work and doors that open and seats inside of it. But I bet it doesn't actually travel. Remember like when Doug DeMiro went and sat in a Bronco, but they're like, it doesn't even have an engine in it. Yeah, that's
you
that
see
orange
Doug
one.
Just did? Saw what Doug just did?
Yeah, what did Doug just do?
He's selling his Land Rover.
Is he getting a GX550?
I have no idea. I didn't watch the whole video.
I bet that's what he's doing. I bet he's getting a GX550 because he's into overlanding. How much you want to bet he buys a GX550?
Well, if I was Doug, I would have one already.
I bet he buys a GX550, and then I bet he realizes that he needs to buy an EV, and I bet he buys an R2. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. This has got to be the, and I haven't heard anything, so maybe sound would make me feel better.
No,
maybe
it makes
be
it
all
worse.
Kinds of cool electric sounds.
It makes it worse.
Okay, do you see the reaction of the Dodge Brothers just then? That's my reaction to this whole thing. That blue car that just pulled up is not a real car. That also is a CGI insert. Everything about this video is fake, which leads me to believe everything about this car is fake.
That car is a real car.
That's not a real car. That's a fake car. That's CGI. That's video game graphics. Everything about that was CGI. None of that was real. Not a single piece of video we saw other than Dodge Human Dude walking on a green screen was real. All of that was fake. What is it doing now? Why is it even showing us a straight six engine?
Because it has one.
They're going to put a gasoline engine in the Charger?
Did you not hear me say that?
No.
See, because you don't pay me attention.
Why doesn't the gasoline Charger engine have the front trunk spoiler?
It does.
The pass-through spoiler on the gasoline engine?
It does.
No.
Yes, it does.
Nah, I doubt that. Seriously doubt that. Everything about this car is a mistake.
You only got 30 more seconds of video. I'm just going to let you run it out. Just go ahead. Just keep going.
Okay, so now he's returned the cartoons back to Cartoon World in the cartoon car. And he's obviously bidding them farewell. The thing he should have been doing is like, hey, guys, set aside a bank account that no one knows about. Put a bunch of money in it and label it. Do not open until 2007. You will need it then. That, if he was smart, that's the information he would have gave the Dodge Brothers when he took them back. And then he would have also said, also, don't let us build this car, even though we think we need it. We don't.
You got like 10 more seconds of talking. I think
that's
you should
it.
Go.
That's all I got.
No.
I said these are real,
the
but they're not
they
real.
Want.
Everything in that video was fake. There wasn't a single real car in that video. I could not be more disappointed in how terrible that was. That was some of the worst.
I tried to talk you out of watching the video, but you weren't paying attention.
I should have listened to you. I mean, unbelievably terrible. And why not drive the two-door? Why drive the four-door?
I tried to talk you out, and he was driving the two-door, I believe. The gray car was two doors.
Oh. It was so ugly, I couldn't tell.
All right. So, all right.
This is good. Mistake.
Ready to take a break?
Yeah, it's a mistake. Everything about this car is a mistake.
All right, cool. So I'm going to say the thing that I said in the beginning was there are going to be two versions of the car. The car is going to come in two forms. One is going to be a sedan. One is going to be a coupe. There will be an EV car, and there will be a car with a twin turbocharged inline six, which is currently in the Ram. All of it's coming. It goes back to a thing that Stanley said is not everything needs to be EV. Not everything needs to be hybrids. Not everything needs to be a plug-in hybrid. Not everything needs to be ICE. And not everything needs to be diesel. We should have a big mix of all. The most positive thing that from that reveal was the fact that they are building both cars. And the car that you just said wasn't real, I'm not going to say the one in that video, that horrible video was real. If there's some videos online of people actually getting in and out of those cars, so they are real versions of the car out there.
All I can say, again, I'm going to try to think about the positive here. If I were a person who had stock invested in Dodge, the most positive thing you could take away from
that doesn't
everything.
Exist. People don't have money invested in Dodge.
The most positive thing you could take away from what I just watched is that they did not waste all your money on a marketing video. They bought the cheapest TMU marketing video talent they could get their hands on. That is the worst AI created. They may not have even had a marketing person. They may have went to like
somebody thought of that
TMU's marketing team and said, hey, you know those really cool cartoony commercials you guys do to try to convince people to buy your mini much quality products? Get us one of those, but with the Dodge brothers. And they went, okay, okie dokie, no problem. And 37 seconds later, they showed them that. And someone at Dodge went, how much? And they said, for you, $29.99. And they went, sold. Done. We ain't trying to spend a bunch of money because we're going to have a hard time selling any of these cars.
All right. So the synopsis of the two reveals is what we, in my opinion, is Rivian, you did it right. Dodge, you didn't do what we just said about the Rivian. It should build a desirable car and people will come.
Yeah, that's a good takeaway. I mean, I would have said it this way. Rivian, I had about given up all hope. And today, just when I thought you couldn't do anything dumber, you totally redeemed yourself. And
I mean,
Dodge,
you are the person on the podcast who had a reserve for a Rivian. I'm just saying.
Dodge, I'm not surprised. You suck.
Be honest, I'll probably, when I see the car in real life, it'll probably grow on me because I don't think it looks so far different from the old car that I won't like it. I won't get to the point where I think it's kind of cool. But
I have every expectation that when I see one in real life, I will look the driver dead in the eye, and with the same casual expression I interact with squatted truck drivers, I will simply go,
I'm gonna get one, And I'm going to show up to your house with it. And it's gonna, I'm gonna, that's going to be my surprise. Which you know I just lied because I'm not getting one. But anyway.
I'm going to give you the world's slowest, without breaking eye contact, reach out and lock the door. If you show up to my house with one of those.
Oh, yeah. You show up. That's not happening. You ain't got to worry about that.
I'm 100% serious. You show up at my house in that car, I'm going to look at you in the dead in the eye, and I'm going to lock the door, and I'm going to pull out my phone, and I'm going to call Giselle, and I'm going to say, what happened to your marriage that you let him come home in this car? And then when she goes, what car? And then I tell her, and then she says, tell him not to come home.
Then
I'm gonna hang up and I'll open the door and I'll be like,
and then I'm gonna go upstairs and sleep on your chair.
But you are living in this barn.
Yeah, I get to sleep on the chair. Not a couch. That's not a couch.
It's a couch. It's just beat up.
It's a chair. No, it looks very comfortable. But anyway, I think we have rambled enough.
Yes. Yes.
Well, also, before we get out of here, if you listen to that part of the podcast, if you made it this far, which we know you did, because you're hearing this part of the podcast, you should definitely watch that video while Bill commentates. You should do it. It makes it better because that video is horrible. I don't know. That was one of them things where the CEO or CEO or whoever just wanted to be on stage and talk and think he's cool. It's like another CEO that we talk about a lot and so, did not take no for an answer. Yeah, that's what happened.
So when people of a certain age that is younger than me call people of another certain age that are older than me, who struggle with technology and being relevant with technology, when they call those people boomers, and I sit comfortably in the middle and pass judgment on that interaction, this confirmed why those people call those other people boomers. Because that guy that approved, or gal, sorry, if you're that person who approved that video, 100% was a boomer and has no clue what makes for good technology. That
you
was
know what they did?
Oh, so bad.
You know what they did? You know what they did?
No, I don't.
Thank God.
If this was 1988, I would say, yeah, I know what they did. A lot of cocaine. I don't know what they're doing now at Dodge, because clearly that was just.
They watched your favorite movie with the bestest Dodge ever, the Dodge Turbo Interceptor concept in it. And it's like, dude, we should do that again.
Dude.
You should, don't talk bad about my movie.
The graphics in Wraith are better than that. The lightning bolt storm that the Wraith comes down in is better than that whole video we just saw. The first 2 minutes of the film Wraith is better than the whole video we just watched. That's your takeaway.
Don't watch the Wraith and be inspired to make a commercial. That's the takeaway.
I love it.
I got one for you. We'll see how you feel about this. And then we get off here, I promise. Of the movies that are on my wife's list, see how it comes all the way back around? Movies that are on my wife's list to watch this year, one of her most anticipated movies is Twisters.
Ooh, best car movie ever made.
I mean, best, whoa. Days of Thunder exists, sir.
I was waiting to see how you were going to object. I mean, I would never say it's the best car movie ever made. It's clearly not Gumball Rally, but
yeah.
It is a car movie. And so as long as I say overly objectionable things about it being a car movie. It just cements the easier fact that it is a car movie. Yeah. Right. It's like saying it's the greatest car movie ever made. And you're like, it is not the greatest car movie ever made, but you did just agree that it is a car movie. And that's all I needed you to do. Yeah.
We had a whole podcast about it. And then somebody stole my idea.
Jalopnik. Jalopnik.
Yep. You should listen to this one and steal a couple more ideas. That's just cool. It works.
100%. All right.
On that note, love you, Bill.
Love you, Stanley. Good night, listeners.
Night, y'all.